Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from our basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the sir, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything I got.
Welcome into another episode of the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and Eric Wayne is out do-gooding somewhere in Central America this week. So as the old saying goes, when the cat's away, the mice will talk about prospects. I'm pretty sure that's how it goes, right? Joining me tonight to do so is The Athletic's Emily Walden. Emily, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Always a pleasure.
And the Voice of the Turtle podcast and writings many different places. It's Hook Slide. Hook, I understand that recently you learned a tough lesson about an arm side cutter.
Yeah, do we have to talk about that? It hurts.
We very much do.
The short version of the story is I've been helping my 14-year-old son develop as a pitcher, and we're working on some new cutter and two-seam fastball grips, and he wanted me to actually get into the batter's box and take some swings and say, you know, gauge my stuff as a batter. Can you hit it? And so I took some swings from the right-handed side, and because I'm a switch hitter, I said I'm going to go to the left-handed box now and see what that looks like. And he threw a cutter that I didn't realize was a cutter until the last second when it dove hard, and I spun out of the way and not fully out of the way because it planted squarely in my left calf muscle, and I like immediately lost feeling in the lower half of my leg, and that was on Friday. This is Sunday. I still can't walk right. This thing is just welted and blistered, and it's, you know, I'm not sure whether to be upset or like, dude, that was a hell of a cut. Like,
yeah,
good job.
That sounds like a Rivera cutter right there. Tell him to hang on to that one.
Yeah, just start it a little bit further outside the plate next time.
So, Emily, do you have a scouting report on his son? Have you been able to get to any of those games?
You know, I haven't been able to attend the games, but there's definitely a lot of projection, good high upside. I believe he gets that from his mother. So some real promise there. I'm going to be keeping my eye on him.
Yeah. So speaking of children, it looks like the Tigers family, kind of, so to speak, will be expanding. A proxy Tiger, can we say that, Justin Verlander, and his wife, Kate Upton. I'm sure that everyone knows this at this point, but they announced they're expecting their first child. How excited are you guys about this?
Is it wrong of me to say I don't really care?
I don't necessarily think it's wrong.
Okay.
Because
I have a general rule of thumb, because I see these things on the magazines in the supermarket all the time, right? Like, so-and-so is having a baby, and I'm like, so what? Like, people have babies all the time. Like, why should I care extra more about this one because it's a famous person? And yes, I love Justin Verlander, but I'm also aware of the fact that he does not know my name or love me back.
Are you sure about that?
Absolutely positive. And so I feel like he and Kate have kind of moved into that sort of Us Weekly celebrity couple, you know, status. So to me, it's just kind of like, okay, that's great. Good for them. I'm happy for them, but whoop-de-doo.
Emily, are you excited for Uncle Ben?
You know, I'm probably more excited at the thought of Ben Verlander being an uncle than the actual concept of Justin and Kate having a baby. And I think more of the attention is because of Kate Upton, because you don't see that many Major League Baseball players having such important baby announcements as these two. So I think it's more shifted that way. But yeah, Uncle Ben Verlander, I think, has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate, like, uncle that would teach you everything. Not necessarily the stuff that you're supposed to teach a child, just the stuff that that child really needs to know.
You know, but there's a product already called Uncle Ben out there, right? It's rice. So
it's rice.
Can they call him Uncle Ben, or is that copyrighted? Do they have to, like, pay royalties?
Yeah, I think it's just like Uncle Ben TM every time they do that, and it's fine at that point. What features do you think that we can expect from this child? Like, are they gonna save the world at some point? I mean, bloodlines.
No, I'm not going to ruin your podcast with my theories and opinions on celebrity children. But no, the opposite of saving the world.
Oh, okay, Emily.
Yeah, I can't say that too many supernatural characteristics come to mind, but we will hope and believe for a good bright future.
Hopefully, a really nice curveball. Hopefully left-handed. That would make life so much easier on them because they don't need to throw nearly as hard. Yeah. So anyway, that brings us this week's leadoff question. And I didn't give you guys time to prep this, but it was in one of the Twitter questions that we got, and I thought it was particularly good. It came from @tigers_opinions, and they asked, what are some names for this Verlander child? What should – obviously, we probably won't be consulted in this, but if we were, what would we suggest to Justin and Kate?
Wow. I mean, I thought about it and I came up with very, very little. What I did think of immediately, though, was because the Tigers now have Cody Clemens in their system. Mm-hmm. They drafted him this year, and Roger Clemens is his father. So I did a little bit of research about, you know, Cody's not the only son of Roger who's in the baseball world. There are other siblings. And I noticed that all of their names start with a K. And I thought, okay, how narcissistic and beautiful is that? If you're Roger Clemens and that's your thing, like, you strike out people and that's the K is the thing, and all of his kids' names start with a K. So I think maybe Justin should follow suit in some fashion. I mean, he can't directly rip off Roger and do the K thing, but maybe start all of their names with FIP. I don't know.
you don't think Kyle Verlander has a nice ring to it?
You can't steal the idea. That's just then he's a poser at that point.
Yeah, I would agree.
Valid.
Do you have any suggestions, Emily?
Yeah, I would say probably because of what little I know about Kate Upton, I'm guessing they're probably going to go off the grid a little bit with their choice. They strike me as modern parents, so I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if it'll go as far as naming them like after a fruit like Gwyneth Paltrow did, but we'll have to see how far they go. I think they'll have a little creativity behind it.
I think they could just go with Psy. That could be an option. Mm-hmm. And I think probably one of the biggest inspirations in young Justin's life, maybe they end up getting a naming right here, and that of course would be Donald. I don't see why Donnie wouldn't necessarily bear the name of that first child.
Why not something like Pablo? No?
Are you suggesting that Pablo is Verlander's daddy? Is that where we're going here? Speaking of,
I'm going to let people draw their own conclusions.
Speaking of, I got you know how Coke does a you know, share a Coke with, or, and they put it on their bottles? I got Sandoval on my bottle. What in the, other than Pablo, like, Sandoval is not necessarily a first name, correct? Like, I mean, they are just directly referring to the Kung Fu Panda. Anyway,
I wasn't aware that was an option. So
if you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am @JordanHall23. The show is @PodcastYanos. Eric, who's not here, is @ComericEric. Hook, you are @HookSlide23, correct?
That is correct, until I someday get my name back.
Mm, we should start a Kickstarter for that.
Yeah.
And Emily is @EmilyCWalden.
You got it.
Look at that research. Facebook.com/PodcastYanos. Oh, and on Instagram, I am @Jordinho4. And we would love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform listening to this show on. If you leave us a review, take a screenshot of it and tweet it at me. Make it funny, and we'll read it out on next week's show.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannis.
So, guys, it's been another not-so-hot week for the big club. We are now 5-20 in the last 25 games, which my sources tell me are not, because that's not a good record. It's been one of those stretches that kind of makes it hard. I say kind of. It's made it extremely hard to turn the television on and watch these guys. Johnny Cain going through the NASA training, that's pretty much been the highlight in the last month. But there is a bigger play at work here, and that's kind of why I wanted to talk to you guys. Something to boost all of our spirits. That is, we're in the middle of a rebuild. It's been a little bit over a year now that we are in, like, an acknowledged rebuild. I feel like the Maben for Victor Alcantara deal kind of really jump-started that. We're about, a year and a half on from that. So I kind of wanted to get your guys' expert opinions, just starting off here. What is the state of the rebuild at this point? And either of you guys can jump in first. Like, where would you, you know, rate it? What percentage of the way through it are we? You know, all these indefinable questions that, that you guys are supposed to know the answers to.
I think for myself, I'm sticking with possibly back into contender mode by, like, 2021. Okay. I think is probably going to be a fairly safe guess. I think the whole thing, whenever you go into a rebuild, it's going to be a little bit of a crapshoot. But personally, I like the progress they've made with some of their top names. Matt Manning, for example, is moving along really, really well. So I would say 2021, you might start to see some of it by 2020, but I think it's still going to be at least 2 to 3 years before they're really back in contention mode.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet. What I want to remind people about, though, is that this move back into contention is not going to be an overnight switch, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, it's not going to be, you know, they're terrible, and then suddenly, whoa, they're in first place. It's going to be a gradual ascent, you know, as certain of these prospects come, you know, up through the pipeline and into the major league club and begin to help in whatever ways they're going to help. So you add a pitcher here, you add an outfielder there, an infielder here. So I don't think it's like, oh, we have to wait till 2021 to turn the television back on. You can start, you know, next year and see how it's improving. But I would agree that, I mean, I've always been optimistic in saying 2019 is, you know, too early, but maybe, who knows, you know, they steal a wild card spot. 2020 seems to be more the target, and that's what Alavila always said, you know, from 2015 when he took over. He said it's a 5-year plan, so that would be 2020.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people kind of say, okay, we can plan on Casey Mize getting to the big leagues at so-and-so year, Matt Manning so-and-so year, and they almost expect, like, the second they get up to the big leagues to mm-hmm. all of a sudden, boom, now these guys are at their full potential, you know, borderline aces, and that's kind of not how it works. Like, you look at guys like James Paxton, who is one of the best, I would say one of the best lefties in the game at this point. Like, I feel like everyone says the, you know, progress isn't exactly linear. Like, it is going to take some of these guys some ups and some downs. Look at Porcello. We had to send him down to the minor leagues at one point. But here's the thing. Like, I feel like our system when Avila took over after Trader Dave left was after he was asked to leave was very bad. Very, very bad by you know, anyone's guess. You know, we're about 2 years on, and it's undergone quite a bit of a transformation. Do you think Al should get a little bit more credit than he does just with some of the asset accumulation that he's been doing?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been screaming that since 2016, right? Or 2017. Yeah, because I say the rebuild actually began in earnest with the trade of J.D. Martinez. And so I would say it's not even really been a full year
That's
yet.
True.
Yep. And then we certainly knew it by the time they traded Verlander later that August. So in that amount of time, you know, the Tigers have already whipped together a fairly respectable farm system that went from, you know, bottom five, bottom 10 in MLB to, in my opinion, it's at least upper 15. It's top half. And we've got, you know, trades to go. We've got drafts to go. So I think given the lack of assets that they've had, they did not have a Chris Sale or an Adam Eaton or guys like that to trade and bring in the huge hauls that they did. But given what they did have to work with, I think they're way ahead of schedule.
Yeah, Emily, you kind of see the breadth of of just systems in general across baseball. Like, the jump with, like, just like with what Hook was saying, the jump with what we had to work with. I mean, that's a pretty legit job that he's done, no?
I would definitely agree. And kind of going along with what Hook said too, the returns for who they traded, obviously a major league fan base doesn't want to have to hear you have to wait. Nobody wants to hear that. But the fact that they are officially in rebuild mode, I think for me, it really set in at the time of the draft, where we got to see a little bit of the, you know, shifting pieces around, trying to save a few dollars here and there. I was really impressed with how the draft class came together. And this is, I mean, Hook can back me up on this as far as who we've seen in West Michigan. It's a fun draft class. It's a really fun draft class. And so between that and the trades that took place, I think that Al has done a really, really good job. And I think coming up to the trade deadline, we could see even more to add to that rebuild.
It seems like a word that I would use, especially towards this year's draft class, is kind of crafty. Like, he seems to have crafted this thing together with the uses of different monies, you know, paying more for this guy and then being able to get this guy cheaper, etc., etc. And I feel like that's the first time that we've been able to say that about a draft class. Is that just my imagination, or are we finally reaching the base point that a lot of other major league teams kind of started with?
Yeah, we're behind the curve in that sense. You know, we're finally catching up to what other teams had been doing. But the other thing is, too, it's not just the draft. It's the money they're spending on international signings now. And we're seeing a lot more of that, which fans have been saying, smart fans have been saying for years. Why aren't the Tigers in this game? Other teams are doing this and succeeding wildly at it. So, yeah, it's a whole different look when you're not drafting prospects for the purpose of trading them versus, yep, you know, drafting them for the purpose of putting together a team. It has to be crafty, to use your word.
Yeah, and I believe this was the first year that we handed out 2 million plus contracts in the international markets. Is that related to us having, this is more from my ignorance here, is that more related to us having a higher budget for that because we were so bad? Or is that just the first time we thought it was necessary to dish out that much money? Do either of you have any knowledge of that?
You know, I can't say for me personally, I haven't had as much involvement on the international side. I think it stems back to coming down from the top, where they've shifted as an organization. They've shifted the mentality of how they're approaching their acquisitions in general. And I think it is going to take some more creativity. I think it's going to be crafty, like you were saying, Jordan, where they're going to have to look at things from different perspectives and, you know, make the signings like they did with, you know, John Schreiber from 2016, who really came out of nowhere, the Jason Foley's, who, you know, we, fingers crossed, he's back in commission here in the near future. But it's, you really kind of have to pull some stuff out of your back pocket to get yourself back in a position to have that respect. And just like Hook was saying earlier, they're back a few steps still, but they've progressed in a really impressive way. There's still obviously work to be done, but they've done a really good job, in my opinion.
So before we get in,
really, I was going to say, you can really kind of see the differences in approach if you just step back and look at what the Red Sox are doing now that they are, you know, being run by Dave Dombrowski, who had the Tigers in his control for over a decade. And not to, you know, knock, so many fans are going to be angry if I say this, but Dave Dombrowski is really good at using the brute force method. Just, I will buy the stars. I will empty the farm system for, you know, proven MLB talent. So there was never kind of that approach of, hey, we have to be, you know, creative in how we're acquiring talent and the purpose for which we're acquiring them. And you look at the Red Sox now, a lot of their fan base is openly admitting, man, our farm system is crap. And they had one of the best farm systems like the year before Dave took over. So he did it. In a couple of years' time, he has gutted their farm system. He has, you know, bloated their bankroll. And maybe you can do that if you're Boston. The Tigers were never supposed to be a top five spending team. And so they have to kind of scale back and be more resourceful.
And to be fair, if he brings them a World Series this year, then all of the prospect trading was worth it. It's just a matter of how you look at your fan situation or, you know, experience. So just to tie a bow on this, before we get to some individual prospects that I want to talk to you, specifically Deathridge. So from a casual fan's perspective, looking at what I would describe as behind the scenes stuff at anything below the major league level. We are generally optimistic about the direction things are going. Hook?
I'm sorry, I was deferring to Emily.
Either.
I'll run with this one.
Okay.
I'm very optimistic. I've had the chance to see, several of the teams. I'll be heading to Florida State League next month and watching the way that the pieces have come into place, how quickly the 2018 class is making an impact. I mean, they're moving guys extremely fast, which I think is a sign of how advanced they are, which speaks all the better for what's needed for the rebuild. And from what I've seen so far this year in Toledo, Erie, West Michigan, Toledo is a night and day difference. Having the guys that they have up there, the moods are higher, spirits are higher. Having Doug Minkiewicz there as the manager has done just a world of good for that system. And they've just been able to, I think, really build up as a group and really become a lot more confident. And then Erie, unfortunately, is starting to lose some of their bigger names as they go up to Toledo. So that's something they're going to kind of have to adapt with Andrew Graham managing there now. It's a different feel this year. I think across the board, it's a different feel, and it's an optimistic feel, in my opinion.
All right, why don't we start at Erie a little bit? Alex Fajardo, he's been dealing. I mean, he's been pretty good since he's been there. The velocity drop to start the year, has the velocity come back at all, Emily?
It really hasn't. He's been sitting, I would say, topping out about 92 to 93. And I never actually saw him in college, but what I was given as far as reports from scouts who had seen him is that he would touch upwards of 96. And so there's an obvious, 3 to 4 mile an hour drop in that. It's noticeable with it still being his first year. I'm the type of mindset where I'm not going to put too much stock in that, even though he is a college arm. You ask the players, switching from college ball to minor league ball, it's a whole different animal. And so I'm giving him a little bit of wiggle room as far as figuring stuff out in that regard. But it is something to pay attention to. I think that next year, if it continues, it might be something to focus more on. But I haven't been putting too much panic, if you will, into that velocity drop so far.
Now, Hook, when we were talking with Jorge Cordova, the West Michigan Whitecaps pitching coach at the meetup a couple weeks ago, he was talking about with Matt Manning how he was trying to take away his fastball points to make him work on the other stuff. Do you think it's right, almost a good thing for Fajardo that the velocity isn't just overpowering like it was before, to really make him fine-tune those secondary pitches that were good when he came in, but he's obviously going to need them to play up even more to get to the big leagues?
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of said this, whenever issues of velocity drop come and go. In fact, I just recently heard this from somebody about Matt Manning. You know, he makes the jump to Lakeland and suddenly it's, oh, do you know his velocity's down? Well, yeah, he just moved up a level. And when they move up, they tend to, you know, they have to fine tune. They have to work on their grips. They have to work on this, that, the other thing. And so, you know, in the process, I feel like they, and several pitchers have told me that this happens, you have to dial back and say, okay, I can't just go out there and chuck as hard as I can. I have to get a feel. I have to get, you know, some finesse on this. And then once they're comfortable with it, then they can kind of ramp it back up. Zach Houston is another one. He came out in 2016, chucking 96, 97 on the radar gun at West Michigan, came back the next year and was down to, you know, 92, 93. And everyone's, oh, no, where's the velocity? He was just, you know, working on the fine tuning. And you will see him now in AAA. He's still kind of working on some stuff, but every now and then he will gas it back up to 96. And it's like, it's still there. See, it's still there. You know, don't worry about it.
Yeah. And it's a thing for us as fans. Like we need that, you know, flashy thing to hang our hat on. Like, oh yeah, well, this guy's going to come up and he's going to throw 96, but it is, you know, like you do need that entire package, or by the time you get to the big leagues, that 96 isn't going to mean anything.
Yeah, let me just say this. I was just watching the All-Star Futures game, you know, which is going on today, or was going on. I'm sure it's over by now. But you talk about, you know, fans hanging their hat on the whole velocity thing. Ooh, 96, that's awesome. 97, woo! Hunter Green came out in this game and threw a pitch that was like 102, 103, and it got ripped for a home run. So velocity is not everything. Batters can catch up to those fastballs. So you have to have something other than just blazing speed. You'd better have good feel for it. You better have some secondary stuff. You better know how to sequence all that stuff that our prospects like Fajardo are, they're working on all that. So yeah, back off the velocity, learn the tricks of the trade, learn the art of pitching, as Jim Price calls it. Then we'll worry about reaching back and hitting 96 again.
It's almost like you're talking to a specific Tigers TV color commentator when you're talking about not everything is just how hard people can throw.
I never said anything about that.
So, Emily, obviously, when Fajardo came out of the draft last year, we more or less just sat him down for the rest of the season. And we're doing the same thing, it sounds like, with Casey Mize. Are you okay with him getting that Fajardo treatment, especially after how the velocity has kind of been an issue for him this year?
You know, with Casey, it's funny because the initial reports I heard is that he was going to get the same track, but now I'm starting to hear a little chatter that he may still throw this year. I'm not quite sure the reasoning behind that. I'm trying to get more of a concrete answer on that. But I think for Mize, I would say his profile I would call more advanced than Fajardo, and so if they were to choose to have him throw this year, I don't think it would be a huge issue. I think that he could adapt to it. How much will he throw? I don't expect very much. Probably very limited innings, limited pitch counts. But he's somebody who I think could handle the chance to throw this year, and I'm curious to see what route the Tigers take with that.
Are there more teams across baseball that are doing this, like that just kind of completely redshirting their first round picks? I feel like I haven't heard so much. Seems like we're kind of the only ones doing that.
I haven't heard specifically if that's a trend one way or the other. I think it all just depends on postseason play, because you have the guys like Alex Fajardo, who threw deep into the World Series, and then, you know, Casey Mize was out of it a bit sooner, obviously, than Fajardo the year before. So that gives him a little bit more time to have kind of loosened up. So I would say it's more primarily based on how far they go into the postseason, depending on what type of a workload they've submitted that year.
Makes sense. I mean, that certainly seems like a sensible approach. Let's move on to another one of the big guns that's also at AA. Franklin Perez, obviously, he came over in the Verlander deal. Essentially, since we got him, we knew that we got this kind of shiny new toy in that deal. He's only pitched four times for us since then. Do either of you guys have really a feel kind of what he features, like what he's all about?
I would say from just the stuff that I've had, I'm actually considered now a bad luck charm, because the week I went down for spring training, both Matt Manning and Franklin Perez were injured. I will probably never be allowed to forget that ever. So, that being said,
We all have our things, I guess.
We do. You've got to build your legacy somehow. But as far as the Franklin Perez, the early stuff that I heard from him when his name came up as far as being a trade possibility to Detroit is the fact that he had so much feel for being so young. He's got a really diverse arsenal, got plenty of velocity, really good off-speed stuff, and I believe he's still 20. I don't think he's 21 yet. You can cross-check me on that, but so young. I mean, he's Matt Manning's age, and he already had AA experience by the time he's 20 years old, and so the fact that he's excelled at the pace he has, the success that he's had, obviously this year having the lap string that set him back significantly. I'm excited to see what he does, though. I think once he's able to get back to full health, he's going to show some really good stuff. So I'm still very optimistic.
So obviously, he's just a kid, and it's hard to know, you know, personality wise. But he's kind of going to be linked to Verlander, at least in this town, for a while. And that feels like, at least to me, that would come with kind of a lot of pressure. I don't know if you have any experience with him personally. Is he the type that's going to feel that weight?
You know, I don't think he is. It's been very limited interaction with him, but he's a very low-key personality off the field. I think he's somebody who, very much like Alex Fajardo, who told me he's got no trouble tuning people out if he starts to, you know, to hear the chatter. And in Fajardo's case, he played for a very big school, and so when you're in that position, you're going to hear the fans' opinions on things. Perez comes from a bit of a different background than that, but I think the fact that he is mentally where he is, his maturity, I think it's really going to play in his favor. So I don't see him as putting too much pressure on himself. I know he's a very fierce competitor. And so if there's going to be any pressure, it'll be the self-inflicted, you can do better than this, get out there and show them what you can do. So I don't see him having an issue with the fans' opinions.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like he's kind of the forgotten man. Like we came into the year with the Big Four. And obviously all the talk has been on Mize for a while, and he's kind of, press has kind of gone, beneath the radar. It's nice to see him kind of getting back to it. Hook, I want to get to this is what I've been waiting to talk about, the whole time. Let's talk about Death Rage. Dude can absolutely ball. And he is, I mean, him and Clemens seem to be, real guys, don't you think?
I really have enjoyed both of them. Yes. Deathridge, was obviously just a huge meme waiting to happen anyway with that name, Brock Deathridge. You know, so, yeah, of course, I'm going to hype him like crazy on Twitter and make the jerseys and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. Which, by the way, he apparently liked that jersey that I made so much that he requested one of his own. So, yes, he's going to be...
Guess what? Everyone in his family's getting for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. and as far as his capability, like, he's extremely intense in everything that he does. He's really, really fast on the base paths. He plays a good defense in center field. At the plate, he just wants to hit. He might be a little bit overeager at times, but, you know, that's...
aren't we all?
Yeah. Hey, so am I, you know, but aren't we all? He'll learn, I think, to polish some of that up. The thing is, like, he's a fun guy to hype, but, you know, in reality, he is a 10th round pick. And so I'm happy if he can somehow progress through the system, you know, not get stuck at, you know, AAA or whatever. If he can even come in and be, you know, a fourth outfielder for the Tigers, that's huge value in the 10th round. And he will be a fan favorite the whole time he does it. So I'm excited about that.
Obviously, without having seen him much, actually at all, the guy that I kind of compare him to is Gerber. Is that fair?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, Gerber always kind of caught my attention because he was such a Zen master at the plate. He was so patient, you know, and would take his walks and wait for his pitch and then just blast it when he got it. And like I said, Deathridge is just up there to hit. He's hacking, you know, which isn't to say he's bad at pitch recognition. You know, he does take his balls when he's supposed to. But kind of a different character, certainly a lot faster on the base paths. I watched him leg out a triple one night, and it was just blown away. Like, that had to have been a 11 to 12 second run around the bases. So and Emily will tell you this too. Gerber is just kind of a real laid back personality, and Deathridge brings this fire to the field that is just it's a lot of fun to watch.
To be fair, when you're born with a name like that, I don't think you really have another choice.
Exactly. Brock Deathridge. Come on.
That determines your personality. Okay. So I have a lot more topics that I wanted to get into in depth, but we're running a little long. So how about we just go rapid fire? Just, I don't know, a minute on each. We'll go every other. Let's start with Kyle Funkhauser. Obviously he's getting a little bit closer. And by that, I mean, he's all the way up to Toledo. Emily, what's the ceiling there?
I think we could see him in Detroit this year. I think the fact that he has the arsenal that he has with the confidence to back it. He actually told me before spring training, I said, where are you going to start the year? He said, AA, which he did. And I said, where are you going to end the year? He said, Detroit, which he very well could. And he had a little bit of a rocky start, but he's been able to kind of iron out some of the issues he's had. And I think he's on a really good track to get there.
But Emily, how will we find space for him on the 40 man? There's just no spots to burn.
You know, I think that's a response that's going to take more than a minute, so I'm going to bypass that one.
All right, let's move on. Hook, one of your favorite topics, and that's, of course, Christian Stewart. What is he going to look like? I mean, inevitably, he's going to come up this year. What is he going to look like when he comes up, and how bad is this glove that I know for you has become a bit of an issue constraint with one Lynn Henning.
Yeah, and we'll just kind of skip right over that because that's just, I really think that's just Lynn getting called out on something that he didn't want to back down on. So he just doubled down instead of saying, hey, maybe somebody else actually has seen more of this guy than I have and I should have a listen.
Lynn, no.
Funny thing too, because he kind of, you know, talked down to me a little bit in that exchange over Kristen Stewart, whereas I posted some video of Zach Houston the other day, just a couple days ago, and he retweeted it. So
Relationship.
It's a very – it can be what it is. I know Eric has a very interesting relationship with him as well, so – I will let Eric mentor me on how to deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure love-hate is quite accurate.
Kristen Stewart is a bat. I mean, he's always been a bat. And I think his defense, for people that that don't like watching Nick Castellanos in right field, Nick Castellanos is a gold glove compared to Kristen Stewart. I can't stress this enough. And it's not just because I posted a couple videos of some very obvious botched plays, line drive grounders that he, you know, deflected and ended up turning a single into a double, pop flies that he literally overran and fell down trying to catch. Those are the obvious, the extremes. It's watching him inning after inning and seeing he hasn't a clue about the routes to take. He looks very lost out there. And you put him in a much bigger outfield like Comerica, and you, I think, multiply the opportunity for disaster. So the sooner they can get him off the field, I get it. His bat is going to be good. He's going to hit 30 bombs a year, you know. But the fans that are saying, hey, bring that bat up, we can deal with the defense, I'm like, no, you can't. You can't ever deal with bad defense. The minute this guy gets out there and botches a serious play, you're going to be all over
Twitter him. It's going to murder him. Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't handle Castellanos out there. You're not going to handle Stewart.
So obviously you've seen him a lot more than I have. Is there legit reason to think that he's more than Steven Moya, at least at the plate?
Oh, for sure. Okay. Yeah. Much, much better approach at the plate. Steven Moya, of course, was just the strikeouts, you know, just drove the raw power, you know, down. It wasn't worth anything. Stewart has kind of mastered that median walk, you know, so that he can he makes more contact, doesn't strike out as much. And when he hits the ball, he hits it a long way.
So this one's for both of you. Bo Burrows obviously threw a gem today at Erie, kind of steadily climbing. I feel like I said that Franklin Perez has kind of gone under the radar, but he's really gone under the radar too, as far as kind of the Tigers' big pitching prospects. What is his major league comparison? Like, who is somebody that we can look at and think, yeah, that could be what Bo turns out? Like, just give us a little bit of frame of reference for his skill set.
I can't say I've done a major league comp for him personally. I think at least from a fan perspective, if minor league players don't move very quickly, I think fans tend to forget because fans want everything quick.
Yep.
They want it now. Kyle Funkhauser joked with me when he went on the DL last year. He goes, I don't think people even remember that I'm with the organization anymore. Because... You kind of go into a black hole when you're on the DL because fans want to see production, they want to see action, they want to see all that stuff. Bo, out of all of the top arms, I think I would say he's the most bullish, if you will, as far as how Kyle Funkhauser is similar. But Bo Burrows attacks hitters. He attacks hitters. He's got probably my favorite fastball in the entire organization. So much to work with there. He hasn't progressed as quickly, but he's the type of guy where you explain it to him, it clicks, he feels it through, gets a little bit more situational awareness, and he's able to really get into a good place with that. So I think for him, it's just a matter of putting the pieces together. But I would love to see him get an opportunity probably next year, and I think he's going to see some real success.
He's still young, too. I mean, he's been in the system forever, but he's still a young dude. Lots of time to go there, too. Okay, let's move on. Couple more, and then we'll get into Twitter questions. Emily, Jacob Rubson, he has kind of come out of nowhere and just hasn't stopped hitting this year. I feel like it's too black and white to ask, is this a legit prospect? But could we see him in Detroit at some point this year?
I think it's a little early to say this year. I think that he has exceeded expectations as far as how he's done in AAA. Obviously, he came up when Kristen Stewart went on the DL, and they liked him so much, he's still up there. So for him, personally, I think fourth outfielder profile.
Okay.
That's what I've gotten from him. He's got really good speed. He's got good instincts in the outfield. His arm is a little bit below where I'd like it to be. It's not quite as, he doesn't have quite as much punch to it, if you will. But, I mean, he's just put up ridiculous numbers at the plate this year. And I think that he could be that fourth outfielder type, and he's really done a great job so far.
Somebody has to be the fourth outfielder. And despite his recent surge, I still don't think that it's Victor Reyes. And last one, Hook, I want to get your opinion on Zach Houston. Watched him. So I was down at my buddy's house in Chicago, and they actually play the White Sox AAA games on their TV station, which I'm like, man, if we could get some Mudhens games on TV, that would be awesome. Or oh, Whitecaps, wow. Yeah. either way. And Houston pitched, and he was just destroying batters. I kind of was unfamiliar with him until I watched him that, and then I did some research on him. Dude can absolutely pitch. You know, is he a potential impact bullpen guy for us?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely he is. And, you know, I tend to get high on guys pretty quick when I see him at the Whitecaps level and they just come out and just destroy. And I loved his stuff from the second I saw it. The fastball with that great late movement, arm side run, a 12-6 yellowhammer curveball, you know, that had batters darting and dodging and frozen. Like, he was awesome. And, you know, so I've advocated for him for a long time, and the numbers support that. He's got Joe Jimenez like numbers all through the minor league system in terms of strikeouts. The strikeout ratios are, you know, 13, 13 and a half, 15. At Toledo, his K per nine is 15.4 over, I think, 15 or 16 games. And that's his calling card. And the stuff is good. It's legit. But when I think of, you know, what's he going to look like once he reaches the Tigers level, which I do think could be this year. I would not be surprised at all if they end up trading Shane Green, for example, and end up with a hole in the bullpen that they don't, you know, go ahead and bring up Zach Houston and give him a shot. I think he will struggle a little bit like Joe Jimenez did in his first season last year. But once he makes the adjustments, which he has at every single level, he's going to be an impact bullpen arm. I think seventh inning guy, eighth inning guy, somewhere in there. I don't think he's going to be the closer, you know, but he'll absolutely be, I think, you know, maybe a setup guy.
Wait, so if a pitcher comes up, you know, after being highly touted and he doesn't perform immediately, there's still hope for him to come good, like maybe the next year?
No, you want to write him off immediately. As a quote-unquote okay. 4A pitcher.
All right, I'm writing that down in my notes. Okay, love.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's move on to things I saw on the side of the road while running. This is real quick. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on this. But on the road this week, I saw over the course of probably about a mile, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 rubber bands just kind of strewn about on the side of the road. No, like, box that they obviously came from. Like, it almost looked like somebody was leaving gingerbread crumbs? Is that like, leading me somewhere with these rubber bands. And I never found out, like, where did these rubber bands come from? And it you know, does somebody just, like, throw them out their window? Like, I always discuss this with Eric. Like, there's only so many ways for crap to get on the side of the road. How did these rubber bands end up on the side of the road? So that's what I have for you guys.
What if it was like a really epic rubber band fight?
I would like to have seen that. I don't know right. That I'd like to have participated in it, but I'd like to have seen it.
See, that's where my mind would go. I'd say that somebody had a really awesome rubber band fight here, and now I need to host one because I need to be a part of that.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the Twitter questions. First one comes in from Jennifer Cozy. She says, will the Tigers sign Austin Jackson?
Hook, you want to take this one?
I love Jen. She's so much fun. Yes, and she is an Austin Jackson fanboy from a long time back. And ever since he was – I think he was traded to the Rangers and then released by the Rangers. So he's available. And from the day that happened, she has been tweeting at the Tigers official account multiple times per day saying, are you any closer to signing Austin Jackson? I actually put a tweet out that said I'm giving over under on how long before they block her because of how often she tweets this. But they won't.
I feel like we always mock the Twitter, you know, hashtag activist. She's actually trying to get something done through Twitter. I'll give her credit for that.
Go for what you believe in and do it until they block you. You know, you can at least say you tried. But no, I don't think he's getting signed.
Matt Pelk asks us, did Saved by the Bell pay the Tigers for their blatant 80s logo ripoff? After four wins in the last 24 games, that's all I got. It's been rough on all of us. Do either of you guys, to be fair, I don't actually know what that's referring to.
I don't either.
Either of you fill me in?
I'm sorry. I'm no help on that one.
Okay.
I never watched Saved by the Bell. That's the thing. I was busy studying, you know, WRC Plus and FIP and WHIP and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, and I was never a child, so I went straight from, you know, crawling to watching the Sports Center. So yeah, I don't really know what that's about either. But I'm sure it was a good reference. We just aren't smart enough to get it. At EvanKen95 asks us, what if the Orioles decide to keep Manny Machado?
Great, that's fantastic. People don't understand this. Like when they talk about the pieces the Tigers can move this year, oh, they can trade this guy, they can trade that guy. I'm telling you, the trade market is going to be absolutely flooded this year with superstars because you have so many teams. Remember at the beginning of the year how we were like, man, there's a huge disparity. There's like six awesome teams, and then there's like just a ton of teams that are going to lose 100 games, right? Well, all those teams, the 100-game losers, are going to be dumping roster at this point. So you have so many potential stars on the market, and what the Tigers have to offer in that market is going to get lost very quickly. So are the Tigers going to be able to trade Jose Iglesias? Not if Machado is on the market. No. So if he stays with the Orioles, yes, maybe we can trade Iglesias.
Yeah.
You know, I would say from just speaking with several different scouts and talking to a few different teams, I think pretty much every team is open now as far as having their top guys available and wanting to shift pieces. And so I'm curious to see, you know, what does happen with Machado. It's going to play a big factor in the market this year. And the Tigers need to move some pieces. They need to move some pieces. And so whether he stays or goes, that is going to play a major factor in what the Tigers can pull off at the deadline.
I'd love to see him go to Cleveland, let Cleveland empty out their farm system, and then for him not to re-sign with Cleveland in the offseason. I think that would be the ideal scenario. Brandon Kerr asks, either of you going to try the cotton candy hot dogs in Erie?
You know, I missed my chance. I was in Erie probably about 3 weeks ago, and I missed my chance. But I did ask Greg Coleman, shout out to Greg Coleman, the Erie Seawolves general manager, ask him to save me one. So he's going to try and have one available for the next time I make that trip over.
Now, is that going to be, like, did he get it from the concession stand that night and has it, like, in a hot bag? Or is he going to get you a new one on the night?
You know, the thought of the state of that cotton candy, if he waited until my next visit, hurts my mouth to think about.
Oh, come on.
Hopefully it's fresh.
Like we're going to get, you know, principled about this. Like, no, that cotton candy hot dog, that needs to be fresh, not 3 days old. My cotton candy needs to be a certain. For those who don't know what we're talking about, this is a hot dog in a bun made of cotton candy, and then it's like topped with Nerds. And that's, I said on Twitter, like I try a lot of unique stuff. I love to do that. This year the Whitecaps have crickets. You could buy crickets. I absolutely did. And I said, I've always wondered where the line is for me. Where is that line that, nope, I'm not going over. That hot dog is it. No, I will not touch that thing.
I to be honest, I don't even think I'd have a problem with the cotton candy bun. It's the Nerds. Like, There is virtually nothing more vile on this planet. Hazelnut obviously is included in that. But Nerds are so bad. They're just,
like, did you guys ever see the Weird Al Yankovic movie called UHF?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, I would recommend it if you're into that kind of style of, like, airplane humor. The movie Airplane.
I don't,
like,
much care for movies. Gun. They're just too long.
I know. It's really goofy, slapstick, stupid stuff. But anyway, at some point in the movie, his friend makes him a hot dog that is a hot dog. The bun is a Twinkie, So they slice it down the middle and put the hot dog, you know, and then he squirts like a Cheese Whiz on top of it. And I actually made that and tried that. So that's how far I will go.
How was it? I'm curious now.
Terrible. I got sick. It was nasty.
That's what I'd imagine.
So this, I won't touch this. No.
All right. Nicholas Haller asks us, 5 prospects you each are hyped for. Let's cut that down to 2.
2 prospects that I am hyped. Is that what the kids are saying nowadays? They're hyped for.
Yeah, sure.
No. What prospects do you think are extra?
Oh goodness! That's goodness gracious! I'm gonna go off the grid slightly if we're talking top 30, and I'm gonna back hook his campaign that I've done my best to support over the years. Zach Houston, 110%. I fully believe he's gonna do some stuff. And then I think the other guy that I would say I'm really excited about is Daz Cameron. Mm. I think we talk a lot about pitchers, and obviously the farm system's been very pitcher-heavy for a while now. Daz Cameron has been labeled by more than one scout as the top position prospect in the Tigers organization right now. He's handled every promotion exceedingly well, done so good, obviously comes from good bloodlines, and I think he's going to be a real contributor in the future.
He's just so exciting. Like, I look at him and I think, yeah, let's go. You know what I mean? We don't necessarily have a ton of positional players that are like that. Obviously, there's a few, but I see him and I'm like, all right, Daz, now we go. All right, Hook, how about you?
I can't just do just 2, but I'll rip through them real quick. Obviously, Zach Houston, you know, is such an under the radar. Nobody's talking about this guy, and he's going to be a big deal. So I'm very excited to see him possibly this year. I still think Isaac Paredes is another one that's like no one's kind of talking about him anymore because other, you know, names are getting more hype. But he's still an extremely solid option at shortstop. A surprise candidate, Sergio Alcantara.
Really?
Okay. Nobody likes this guy, right? But his defense is just crazy, crazy good. And I think he can get the bat to a level where it's not going to be nice. It's not going to be pretty, but it will support the glove that he brings. I'm excited about all 3 of those guys.
I feel like the problem with Alcantara right now is that he doesn't – like him being good doesn't support the narrative that the JD trade was so bad. And nobody wants to even entertain that thought. But, you know, that's neither here.
Well, and if I could add too on Sergio – the fact that he's as small as he is, I think that kind of plays against his ability to hit for power. His defense, he's, in my opinion, he's the best shortstop in the system.
Yes.
I think he's exceedingly talented at short. I've watched him play a couple times between spring training and then the Florida State League last year. He's just so sharp, but just has to bulk up a little bit. He's still 21, I think, so hopefully a little bit more chance for him to add on some muscle. But he's got good plate discipline. He's got a good eye. He's patient. He's not overly aggressive. There's stuff to work with there, but by far his defense is just second to none. It's really impressive.
And there really isn't much in the way of competition for him in the organization. I think him, Lugo, and Nico will be the only middle infielders on the 40-man after Iglesias is gone next year. So plenty of room for him to move up. Anthony Troya asks us, who are you most excited to see get called up after the trade deadline or September? Maybe one for each of you.
Go ahead, Emily.
it's great waiting for cues on who's going to go first. I would say as far as call-ups for this year, I think it's so hard to know exactly who will be called out because it's really going to depend on who needs to be filled in. But I'm going to go relief arm, and I'm going to say Zach Houston. I'm going to say the Tigers take a gamble on him, see what he's able to do. I think he brings some extremely solid stuff to the table. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say we see Zach Houston this fall.
Yep, that's my answer as well. Nice and short.
Mine is we already have him up a couple times this year, but I'd love to see Grayson Griner get some run as the everyday catcher. I'd love to see what he – I mean, we kind of did the same thing with Dixon. We gave him a full half a season of being the everyday second baseman, and we kind of got an answer as far as is Dixon the answer at second base. It was he wasn't, but I kind of like to see Griner get that chance too. Remains to be seen whether it'll happen or not, but that's what I would like to see. At Chinny's Twits asks us, after Hicks went yard off of him, should we be glad the Tigers dumped Verlander when they did? And we actually got the same question after the Adusi home run. I don't necessarily have who sent that to us though.
Well, I can't speak, gauging a pitcher's value off of giving up one home run seems to be a bit of a surfacey grading system. Justin is going to go down as one of the top pitchers of our time. And so I think for all of us, it's very hard to see him move out of our proximity, whether, you know, diehard Tigers fans or, you know, just enjoy the game in general. But having him here for the time we did, I think did a world of good for the city. And I don't think Detroit is ever going to enjoy the fact that he's no longer with the organization. I think he's going to be a longtime icon for the city.
Always in our hearts. Always in our hearts. So this is one I kind of wanted to get to in the regular rundown, but I knew the question was coming up. Run us through your MLB The Show trade simulator. Who is the guy you personally are willing to get rid of? What kind of trade piece would you think that he would return? And what percentage chance do you think Avila will make the trade outcome come true? He says Fulmer for Clint Frazier, 25% chance that it actually happens. So kind of that format. Emily, why don't you lead us off?
Oh, gosh, that's a heavy question. Based on who I've spoken to, I don't see the Yankees letting go of Frazier for Fulmer. What I figured out by talking to a few scouts, most of them said probably a top five guy and a top 20 guy would be what the Yankees would offer in exchange for a guy like Fulmer. I don't think they part with Frazier. I don't see them putting Frazier on the table for Fulmer. I would like to see the Tigers add a bit more positional depth. And somebody who I was actually talking about today is Brendan Rodgers from the Rockies, who is by far one of my favorite guys in the system right now. As far as who Detroit would have to put up for him, that's another thing where it's so hard to piece together what other teams would be willing to put up for what Detroit has to offer. So I think it just comes down to how badly do they want to fill gaps? How badly do they want certain names? What are you willing to put out on the table? And I think that's going to vary from team to team. I don't think you can really say one game plan across the board depending on what teams are involved.
I mean, it would have to be Fulmer to get a guy like Brendan Rodgers, right?
I would say so. I think Fulmer is the top option that the Tigers have to offer right now. Obviously, we've heard, you know, Castellanos being named, Iglesias being named as far as interest. I even talked to one scout who said they had their eye on James McCann. So it's interesting to see what types of moves these teams are willing to make. I think it depends where they're lacking, what do they need to fill, and what type of price are they willing to pay.
I'd actually like that scout's number that wants James McCann. I think I could get in the middle and try and make something happen for them there. Hook, who are you most looking to move, and who would you like to see as a return from that?
First of all, stop with the Michael Fulmer trade stuff. That is just... come on, really? The teams are smarter now. They're not going to get rid of their top prospects. A lot of teams are holding on to guys you want to see come to Detroit. And Michael Fulmer is the top prospect that turned into a good pitcher. So, yeah, he's having a rough year, but give me a break. I really would like to see them make a move with Nick Castellanos. He's like, I think, at peak value right now. He's become the all-star hitter that we all said, you know, that not all of us said, a lot of us said he was going to become, and he's done that. So it would be nice to sell high on him. I would like to see them get something of value for Shane Green, for Mike Fiers, who's having a great, you know, last, what, five or six starts, you know, sell high. And even Francisco Liriano, maybe they can get a nice... I think the Blue Jays got Teoscar Hernandez for him when they traded Liriano last year. If we can get something like that,
I'd
great.
Take that in a heartbeat. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Roger from the Detroit Sports Radio podcast at Rogcast81, our good buddy. We met him at the meetup. He says, "What is your perfect Sunday, Hook? Why don't you start us?
Any Sunday that I get to hang out with Roger from Sports Radio Detroit."
That was well done. Good job,
right?
Yeah,
I thought about that for a while, but a great Sunday it's always the summertime, warm weather,
naturally,
relaxing with the Tigers game if they're actually playing good baseball, taking a nap, and listening to some yacht rock on the deck with a frozen daiquiri. Perfect Sunday.
Emily,
I would say beach for me. I feel like I'm the most relaxed when I'm by the water, so getting to you know, I'm going to do a Pure Michigan advertisement here and say any of our beautiful beaches that we have to offer here in the great state of Michigan, that's really the place where I feel the most relaxed. And so, yeah, throw in a iced something or other adult beverage and makes for a pretty good day.
All right, Tim. So settle down, Tim. Jeremy Troy asks, are you guys finally on board with my preseason hashtag team take, team tank take? That's a mouthful. Hook, lead us off.
I don't know what his exact proposal was, but as far as team tank, I mean, just in terms of like, let's lose as many games as possible so that we can get a much higher draft pick. I am all in favor of that. It was annoying for the first half of the season to watch this team play around 500 ball when you know darn well they're not going to compete for anything. Please don't land in the middle of the pack and get like a, you know, number 16 draft pick. Tank. Well, tank hard.
They're trying to appease you now. They got there. Don't worry.
Right. People are freaking out. I'm like, no, this is good. This is good. This is not a good team right now. Let's please turn this into a much higher draft pick.
And last one from my buddy Matt Koslerich. Condolences to your Croatian boys today. They put up a good fight. He asks us, if you had to put money on one pitching and one positional player in the Tiger system to make a future All-Star game, who would it be? And then the second one, best summer pie, i.e. served with vanilla ice cream, eaten cold, etc. Hook, let's start with the pie. What is your go-to summer pie?
Oh, wow. It is a Maine blueberry pie from Dysart's. That's a truck stop in Maine that I've eaten at. But you can actually order their pies online and have them delivered.
Oh.
And Maine blueberries are just amazing. They're smaller than Michigan blueberries and sweeter. So go to Dysart's and order a blueberry pie from them.
I had no idea that there was different types of blueberries. I didn't either so until I had it. Emily, what's your go-to pie?
Apple.
Down. All right.
Slightly warm with a scoop of vanilla ice cream every time.
I can't disagree with that. That's a good take right there.
Do you guys have you ever tried the slice of cheese on the apple pie thing? People talk about that. Have you
that
ever tried
it? Nonsense.
I haven't. I would say that I would probably try it just out of sheer curiosity, but I can't say I have yet.
Yep. I finally tried it because people talk about it so much. I finally, you know, I won't tell you the results. I'll let you find that out for yourself. But it was interesting.
I will live in curiosity. There's no way I will do that. And
stay
the other,
strong, Jordan.
And the other part of the question: any future All Stars in the system? Hook.
Joe Jimenez. Oh wait, he already got picked. So boom, nailed it.
Feel free to crow as much as you want. You deserve it.
I'm gonna crow on that one. I would say that. He said position player and pitcher. I think for a pitcher, you'll see Matt Manning in the All-Star game at some point. I also think, from a positional side, tough call, Cody Clemens. We'll just say Cody Clemens and dream on that.
I like that. I really like him.
Dude, look, he's played – I'm just going to say, he's hitting the ball like crazy. He has a lot of power. And the defense that I've seen and some of the videos that Emily's posted of his defense, like he flat-out plays. So, yeah. Let's go with
that. He's got that mindset. Like he's cocky. He has the mindset that is going to get him to the big leagues and do well. And I love that. It seems like it pisses some people off. I think it's awesome. I think that's exactly what you need. Emily, any All-Stars in your system?
You know, Hook just stole my
that dirty dog.
stole my picks, but yeah, just to back him up, the progression that Matt Manning has made just speaks for itself. He's moving at a really, really good pace. I think he's on track to move quickly. I think we could see some good stuff from him in the next year or two. And then, yeah, Cody Clemens he's the complete package. I mean, you heard so much about the power that he put up while he was at Texas. He can flat out play in the infield. He can flat out play. He's got the instincts for it. He's got the confidence for it. And that is, that's what I would like to see. So.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. Emily is at Emily C. Walden. Hook is at HookSlide23. And on Instagram, I am at Jordinio4. Emily, are you at the same thing on Instagram?
Emily Walden, the number one.
Yo, you're number one on there. Congrats. I was only number four, so... And Hook, I'm assuming you are not on Instagram.
What's Instagram?
And we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Thank you guys so much. I feel like I've learned a ton. Hopefully all of the listeners have too. And I feel like I say this every time you guys come on, but we need to have you guys on more often. You always shed light on our dark and gloomy world.
Anytime you want to have me on, I'm happy to be here. It's always a good time. I appreciate the invite. And yes, anytime someone wants to, you know, have some hope in the Tigers system, come on out to West Michigan, catch a game. It's fun. You'll feel better.
Yeah. And I remember the very first time you and I ever spoke was when I said that I thought Mike Pelfrey was going to be the signing. And that one turned out to be not so great, and we're still friends. So,
see,
you know, sometimes it all works out. Emily, thank you so much for joining. What do you have in the works right now?
Heading to Lakeland next month. We're kind of shifting some stuff around at the Athletic, so we'll have some fun projects coming up there. And yeah, just working to keep it fresh. And I can't believe we're in the second half of the season already, but it's moving along. We're having a good time.
Yeah, it's nuts. It really does fly by. Well, anyway, so thank you guys for joining us. All the listeners, thank you for listening. And we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up. And Hook, I think you have to say the goodbye because you have the closer to Eric's tone.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.